always thought-provoking and informative. Forget the spin and media bias from the left and right. We know you are sick and tired of being told what to think, how to act, and what you can and can't do. Direct from the Ustream It Broadcast Network, it's time for another edition of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show with your hosts, J.D. Williams and T.L. Farley. Real news and biblical common sense analysis starts in 3, 2, 1.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome once again to another edition of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams, located here in East Texas, and I'm joined there in the Dallas and Fort Worth area by my good friend, my co-host, and I always like to emphasize my brother in Christ, Mr. T.L. Terry Farley. How's things going, Terry?
Amen. The divine is always the most important. Amen. Doing good. Thank you for that reminder, not only that we're in the family, but we're both going in the right direction.
Absolutely. You know, that is the great hope. That is the great peace. And for those of you that have yet to experience that, I can tell you from my personal experience, and I'm sure that Terry will chime in on this as well, that when you do commit to Jesus Christ, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are a changed creature. Everything changes. Your priorities change. The way that you treat your family change. The way that you talk change. The way that you act changes. And the comfort that you feel within you is something that is inexplainable. You cannot recreate it in any way, shape, or form. Terry, I'm going to let you comment on that before we get on.
Amen. 48 years, coming up on 49 years following Jesus. All I did was ask him to save me and help me to know for certain I was going to heaven, 1 John 5:13. And it's been a ride. I want to tell you something. Yeah. when you've got some time, ask me about it.
Amen. Okay, well, now usually we start off with the United States, but today I'm going to do it a little bit differently, and I have a reason for that, which is going to become obvious here in just a moment. But I do want to play this report very, very quickly. This comes out of the nation of India, the world's most populous country. Yes, even greater than China. Listen to this.
Authorities investigating one of the deadliest train crashes in India's history were examining whether a signal failure led to the disaster as rescue workers finished their search for survivors and overturned train cars were cleared from the tracks.
Days after the devastating crash in eastern Odisha state, which left at least 275 dead and more than 1,000 injured, officials were rushing to resume rail services, with scores of workers toiling away in heat over 95 degrees Fahrenheit to get the tracks back online. Family members of deceased passengers had to find their way by other means to claim their loved ones. Haley White reporting.
That is just an awful report, and I hate to report it, but you know that's what's going on. And unfortunately, Terry, for some of them, if not for the vast majority of them, I may be speaking out of tone here, but I'm just going by what I believe personally, that unfortunately for many of them, the title of your first book,
When Now Becomes Too Late,
became their reality.
Yeah.
Terry, with that, I would like for you to offer a prayer for India,
sure,
for its people, absolutely, for those that have been affected, and specifically, sir, that someone out there in India, and yes, we do have an audience in India, a rather large one, that someone there in India will, right now, accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They just might be that one we're looking for that is, in fact, the last Christian. Terry, if you would, please.
Lord Jesus, we just thank you for the privilege and the honor. Those who have died and gone before are now meeting their destiny, whatever that might be. For those who are still here, help them to, Lord, in the sorrow of this, understand that knowing Jesus, they will not sorrow the way other people will if they know their loved ones have gone to be with you. We pray for them, Lord, for special ministering to them. Paul said, especially to the household of faith. And so we pray for them. We pray for those who do not know Jesus that will be touched, the millions and millions across India and the world that will be touched by this horrible disaster, that it will give them some light, that they still have time. They can turn to you and they can know that regardless of what happens in their life, that they will, if they come to you, that they will live forever with you in peace and glory and wonder. We just thank you for the privilege and the opportunity of praying for them. I pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Now, the next thing that I want to go to immediately here, now this actually is from New York, but it is something that just occurred there. This is with Israel. And again, we have a rather large audience in Israel. And for those of you there, I want you to listen very carefully to this. The very first thing that you're going to hear is a very important phrase that I'm going to emphasize once this is over. Listen to this very, very carefully.
Jerusalem Mayor.
Oops.
Moshe Lion, Mayor of Jerusalem, tells the Jerusalem Conference in NYC about the city's phenomenal success. Jerusalem Mayor Moshe Lion addressed the Eretz Shiva Jerusalem Conference in New York City. "I'm honored to be here with you in New York," he began. "If New York is the city that never sleeps, Jerusalem is the city that cannot sleep. We just have too much going on. As we mark 65 years of the city being reunited, I can look out from my office window and look at new buildings being built, new schools, buildings, industrial areas, restaurants, and more. The words of the prophets are jumping off the pages and taking shape in front of our eyes, and I'm proud to lead a revolution for the city that is improving the lives of all the people in the city. Jerusalem has never had so many economic accelerators for all the sectors of the city, with new academic buildings being built in the east and the west that makes up the internal capital of Israel. Jerusalem is the capital of the Jewish people, and I'd say the capital of the world. Jerusalem has never had so many international delegations and conferences, just like in the days of King Solomon. We know that there are a lot of people that deny the Jewish people's connection to Jerusalem. They won't believe the evidence we find every day that tells the story of the kings of Israel. Jerusalem is not a matter of debate, it's a fact." Mayor Lion also talked about anti-Semitism in the rest of the world. "We see the rise of anti-Semitism around the world. There's no better answer to anti-Semitism than to show them that in Jerusalem, Am Israel Chai, the people of Israel, are alive. I know that here in New York, there have been some terrible attacks on the Jewish community, and I stand here with you in solidarity. What is true in Jerusalem is true in New York. Anti-Semitism shouldn't exist anywhere in the world. I believe we should cooperate in the fight against anti-Semitism all around the world." Lion explains how Jerusalem is the paradigm for a fight against anti-Semitism. "In Jerusalem, you have a partner with a diverse society, a modern economy, a partner where Jews, Muslims, and Christians live and work side by side. This is our message and obligation." Mayor Lion thanked the conference hosts as well. Eretz Shiva, Israel National News, is not just a news platform, but a bridge for the world to know what is going on in Israel.
Okay, the words of the prophets are jumping off the pages. That's the emphasis. That's the one that I wanted to emphasize there. For all of you in Israel, yes, indeed, he is correct. The words of the prophets are jumping off the pages. And in a previous show, we let you guys know that there is a certain part of the Tanakh. Is that the correct pronunciation, Terry?
Yes, Bing on. That, yep.
That there is a portion of the Tanakh that you guys are not being taught properly. You're not understanding that that portion of the Tanakh is, in fact, about, well, you know it's about Jesus, but you didn't know it was in the Tanakh. Well, look it up, and you're going to find it. Mm-hmm. And yes, indeed, the words of the prophets are jumping off the pages. And so I want you to turn your attention then to Ezekiel chapter 38 and Ezekiel chapter 39, because Israel's future lies in those verses. And Amen. If you will read those verses, you are going to automatically understand what this show is all about and why it is so important that you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior right this minute. Terry, any comment that you want to make on that before we continue?
Sure. For anyone that's not clear on this, it's very obvious to us. That's why we don't always say it. Isaiah chapter 53.
Amen.
Isaiah chapter 53.
Amen. And I'll be honest with you. I've always forget the exact chapter, and that I'll leave that up to you to remember it, because for the life of me, I never can remember the exact chapter. You know, so anyway, we did go through a detailed discussion of that, and you know, if you're interested in that, go to YouTube, look up The Last Christian. You know, go to the go to www.lastchristian.net. You'll find a way to get that information. You'll be able to see those shows, and you'll be able to see how we put it all together. We explained it. We went into great detail with it, and it's important. And this applies not only to those of the Jewish faith in Israel. Mm-hmm. This applies to every human being on this earth, no matter where mm-hmm. you live. And if you're in Russia, if you're in mm-hmm. China, if you're in North Korea, and yes, thank mm-hmm. you so much to the individual there in South Korea. I'm not going to identify him, even though I could. I'm not going to identify him because he could be killed. What he does is he broadcasts The Last Christian newscast and radio show by mm-hmm. shortwave radio into North Korea, okay? Into North Korea, and, you know, Kim tries to kill it. 85 to 95% of that programming makes it. And that is great. Amen. That is great. Amen. for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Okay.
Thank you,
now,
Jesus.
I'm going to run through some of these really, really quick, okay, just to let you guys kind of know what's going on. Scientists create an AI digital brain surpassing that of humans. This is courtesy of the Press Rundown. It's a new agency that I've just discovered not too long ago. They've given me permission to report their information. But scientists are developing an artificial intelligence system that could be compared to a digital brain and surpass human intelligence. Now, this is according to Kevin Barragona. He's the founder of Deep AI, and he warns that the rapid development of superhuman intelligence systems will usher in a new kind of future that should terrify us. Now, he is a veteran of the generative AI world. He believes that advanced generative AI systems, interconnected machine learning tools that can be used to produce art, music, and even ideas, are comparable to a growing digital brain. He warns that the technology is developing too fast for its own good, and that we may get to a point where there are no longer understand where we no longer understand AI. A grim vision of the future. So that's just one thing that's going on. Fights have erupted in California as parents protest a pride event at an elementary school, and they're yelling, "They're too young. They're just too young." This according to Fox News, where a protest erupted in North Hollywood. This was last Friday. Angry parents collided with counter-protesters outside Satikoy Elementary School, that's spelled S-A-T-I-C-O-Y, the same day of a planned assembly that spurred community uproar. Again, quoting here, "They're too young. It wasn't about the issue of the book itself, only because after the book was supposed to be read, they were supposed to turn around and have a discussion about what they just read and heard." This according to an interview from Fox and Friends. He said, "When we want to speak with them and have these discussions, they totally ignore us, and they just don't want to talk to us, and I'm fed up, and the school is not safe for my children." He's talking about trying to get in touch with the school principal, with the superintendent, mm-hmm. with the school mm-hmm. boards, and all that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. okay? So, again, people even in very, very left-leaning California, they've about had mm-hmm. enough of this stuff, okay? Mm-hmm. There's more on this topic, and I want to slow down a little bit. So, mm-hmm. Terry, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and allow you to do your 2 minutes, and okay. We'll do that right now, okay? So as you prepare for that, sir, just a really quick reminder mm-hmm. that The Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show is proud to partner with a great educational program for youth based on solid Christian principles and values. Now, as a parent concerned about what your children are exposed to and learning in public schools, you will appreciate the opportunity to learn about Kirkwood's Christian online learning program that will keep your kids engaged and learning. all without worrying about the type of curriculum being presented to them. It only takes a few minutes to set up the program, and your kids can begin working independently on any device, including desktop computers, laptops, tablets, iPads, even smartphones. Now, you can learn more about this program on the Last Christian website at www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net for all of the free information on Kirkwood's homeschool learning program for kids. And hey, get this, the whole program, well, it only costs you about a dollar a day. It doesn't get better than that. Visit us at www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net and receive your information all about Kirkwood's homeschooling learning program for kids. And with that, Terry, it is now time for you. 2 minutes with Terry begins right now.
Homeschooling works, folks. The Last Christian Charge, engaging the sword today. Encouraging first and foremost, daily anticipation of Jesus' shout, we nevertheless continue to prepare for battle. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. His compassions fail not, new every morning. Great, O Lord, is thy faithfulness. Such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Having established the divinity, full assurance, and primary purposes of God's Word, we shall now embark on the undergirding of leading passages from the Holy Bible, beginning in Genesis chapter 1, today focusing on day 1 through 4, God's creation of the world and universe, approximately 6,000 years ago. It is always to be reminded and remembered that Jesus quoted directly from the Tanakh, the Old Testament, while simultaneously proclaiming the New Testament, the Brit Hadashah. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. God said, let there be light. There was light. God saw the light, that it was good. God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and morning were the first day. God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. God made the firmament and divided the water which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and morning were the second day.
And I've got to tell you that Jesus is coming, so I got to keep us moving, okay? And we're going to bring you back for the second half here in just a few minutes. I always hate to break in right in the middle of Scripture, but the way you're doing your stuff now, you're forcing me to do it in almost every show. But anyway, I really don't like breaking into Scripture. You know that. I want to get back here to what we were talking about. And you know, we talked about the homeschool. We promote that homeschool because of the fact that they've got good Christian principles and values. That's why we include them. That's why they're a part of it. We want parents to have the opportunity to put their kids in a program where they can get good information, where they don't have to worry about the crap that I'm going to report to you right now, okay? Target. How many times have we heard Target is the focus of the LGBTQ plus whatever community? It happens so many times. I haven't shopped in Target. This is personal opinion, guys. Personal opinion, okay, and personal position. I haven't shopped in Target for years. You know why? Because they let dirty old men go into the bathroom where my little granddaughter might be, and that's not going to happen on J.D. Williams' watch. That is a position that I stand for, so I don't personally ever shop at Target, not even online. I'm not going to support them for 1 second, ever. Okay. Now, Target is they're pushing for U.S. demilitarization. Why are they even involved in the conversation? They're a store, okay? But they want U.S. demilitarization. And get this one. Again, this is Target. Target stores. I want to give them full credit. They want Mount Rushmore shut down because it's racist. They want Mount Rushmore shut down because it's racist. Target. Let's give Target full credit for this, okay? Now, listen. Here's the quote. The closure of Mount Rushmore, return of that land and all public lands in the Black Hills, South Dakota, is our cornerstone battle. Cornerstone battle. Not only does Mount Rushmore sit in the heart of the sacred Black Hills, but it is an international symbol of white supremacy and colonization. To truly dismantle white supremacy and systems of oppression, we have to go back to the roots, which for us is putting indigenous lands back in indigenous hands. This is full 100% stuff that you need to raise your pant legs up because you're stepping in it.
Yeah. Okay.
Terry, comment, please.
Yeah. Well, what was hilarious was they're using the word sacred. Do they have any idea what that word means?
Not a clue.
You know, with what they're supporting, I got news for them. They need to go back to school. They need to find out what the word sacred means.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they'd recognize it if it was given to them. I think they're too blind. All right. Got some birth rate stuff going on here. Birthrate stagnation, flattening of the U.S. population. According to a report from the Center for Disease Control, I don't really pay much attention to them, but anyway, I got to call it what it is. This is reporting actual hard news, okay? Center for Disease Control and Prevention, teenage birth rates in the U.S. fell to a record low in 2022. I'm actually happy about that part. Continuing a years-long downward trend, the estimated birth rate among teens ages 15 to 19 years old fell to 13.5 babies per 1,000 in 2022. That's down 3% from the year before. However, birth rates for people in their late 30s and 40s increased in 2022, in line with the long-standing upward trend of delaying parenthood from before the COVID pandemic. So, you know, we're seeing population decreases in China, in India.
Mm-hmm.
Now here we've got one in the United States. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me see how much time we got. All right. The Biden administration is ramping up political disagreements with Israel and creating new Mideast headaches. According to Fox News. Two Israeli domestic issues, judicial reform and settlements, have created rifts between the U.S. and Israel. Prime Minister Netanyahu's coalition is working to rope in what it argues is the excessive power of the judiciary. Opponents of the judicial reform say Netanyahu's plan will shift too much power to the Knesset and endanger civil rights procedures. You want to comment on that, Terry?
Yeah. Those who curse Israel will be cursed. Those
Amen.
Who bless Israel will be blessed.
Amen.
Folks, it's right there. It's not hidden. It's not a secret tucked right. away somewhere. You're messing. There was a guy named David, and he killed a guy by the name of Goliath, who was a giant and a right. trained warrior. And people will say to you, don't you know you're going against Goliath? And I'm like, hey, he lost. Did you watch the game? Were you in the men's room? I mean, what's going on? Okay.
All right, well, it's a good point. It's a good point. All is possible with the Lord. Okay, Amen. Now this one right here really bothers me. And we may have to follow this up in the second half of the show. I'm not really sure how much we're going to be able to comment on it, but it really bothers me. Percentage of U.S. adults with a biblical worldview drops to 4%. This according to ChristianHeadlines.com. A new study found that COVID-19 significantly impacted Americans' religious perspectives. The percentage of adults with a biblical worldview dropped to 4%. This is according to Dr. George Barna, the director of the Cultural Research Center. And he said this, of course, to the American Worldview report here. Quoting, "It's much more extensive than we actually expected. Typically, you don't find that religious beliefs change very much. They're probably the most stable of the factors in a person's life because they relate to a worldview that's formed when you're young, and it doesn't change much as you age. We found a number of things that changed in terms of their views of truth, their views about God, their own assessment of their spiritual commitment, some of their moral perspectives, even their ideas and their behaviors related to religious activity, personal religious activity, going to church, reading the Bible, acknowledging their sins, and asking for forgiveness. Those kinds of things all shifted pretty dramatically. 44% of born-again Christians said in the report that they believe Jesus didn't commit any sins during his life on earth. Let me repeat that part. 44% of born-again Christians said in the report they believe Jesus didn't commit any sins during his life on earth, compared to 58% who said the same in 2020. So, I haven't finished this yet, and I'm not going to rush this, because this one right here really bothers me, because you've got born again Christians, 44% said that they believe Jesus didn't commit any sins. Well, that means that the majority, a strong majority, say that Jesus sinned. So how are they born again Christians? Now, Terry, I want you to answer that question, and we are going to discuss it, but we're out of time in the first half of the show. So we're going to take this up in the second half. This is where we're going to begin, and this is a very important point. This is an extremely important point. I want to remind people, if you are operating a radio station, you're looking for a new show, you might want to consider the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show to bring truth to your audience. Just visit us at www.lastchristian.net, and we'll get you signed up and get you on your way really quick. For everybody else, we'll be back right after the break with the second half of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show.
The report says Russian forces have closed or taken over 76 places of worship, looted or destroyed 13, and killed or seized 29 religious leaders in occupied Ukraine. Russia, it says, continues to weaponize religion. According to the report, Russian soldiers are harassing Baptists, calling them American spies and enemies of the Russian Orthodox people. It's alleged one Russian officer told Christians in Ukraine, "Evangelical believers like you should be completely destroyed. You need to be buried alive." The new report confirms what Release International's hearing from its partners in Ukraine, that pastors are being targeted and churches closed in areas under Russian occupation. In 2016, President Putin required all religious organizations and churches in Russia to register with the government. It effectively outlawed foreign missionary work and has led to the persecution of the Ukrainian Orthodox Church in the occupied territories, along with Baptists and other Protestant denominations. This counter-terrorism measure has been used to prosecute American Baptist and Pentecostal missionaries and to burn Bibles. In Russia itself, there are signs that the state is clamping down on religious protests against the war. On March the 30th, a Moscow court jailed a 63-year-old Orthodox Christian for 7 years for condemning Russia's war on social media. Mikhail Simonov posted, "We, Russia, have become godless. Forgive us, Lord." Human rights organization Forum 18 says Simonov is the first person to be jailed for expressing his religious opposition to the war. Others are also now standing trial. Musician Anna Shagina was arrested for displaying the Bible verse, "Blessed are the peacemakers," during an anti-war protest in March 2022.
Just a really quick reminder that the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show is proud to partner with a great educational program for youth based on solid Christian principles and values. Now, as a parent concerned about what your children are exposed to and learning in public schools, you will appreciate the opportunity to learn about Kirkwood's Christian Online Learning Program that will keep your kids engaged and learning, all without worrying about the type of curriculum being presented to them. It only takes a few minutes to set up the program, and your kids can begin working independently on any device, including desktop computers, laptops, tablets, iPads, even smartphones. Now, you can learn more about this program on the Last Christian website at www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net for all of the free information on Kirkwood's homeschool learning program for kids. And hey, get this, the whole program, well, it only costs you about a dollar a day. It doesn't get better than that. Visit us at www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net and receive your information all about Kirkwood's homeschooling learning program for kids. And welcome back to the second half of the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in beautiful East Texas, and my friend there, my co-host, Mr. T.L. Terry Farley, located in the Dallas and Fort Worth area. Terry, I want to pick back up on this report that we began there in the first half of the show. I'm just going to continue it, but before I do, I'm going to repeat again, because this bothers me so much. It's just unbelievable to me. 44% of born-again Christians, in other words, those that profess that they are Christians, those who supposedly have put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, only 44% of them said that they believe Jesus didn't commit any sins during his life on earth. Now, one belief that fell dramatically was the percentage of those who see a God-given calling or purpose for their lives. That percentage dropped from 88% to 46%. This is 1 year. This is one year. Think about that for a minute. In 1 year, okay? Here's a quote. We've really got to sit back and think intelligently and strategically about what we're doing in reference to worldview. As we look at that, what we find is parents are doing next to nothing intentionally. Churches are doing next to nothing intentionally. And so what's happening is every child is out there, is a free moral agent trying to figure out the world. And I say child because a person's worldview is almost fully formed by the age of 13. Barna said the church closures and service changes during the COVID pandemic impacted how people believe. But he added that people are still trying to figure some things out. Another quote, this will be a great time for disciple makers to say, you know what? I'm going to start speaking to these issues that are on the minds and hearts of people today. I'm not going to go into theological conversations. I've got to deal with what people are really wrestling with. And again, this incredible number, 44% of born-again Christians said in the report that they believe Jesus didn't commit any sins. 44%. Incredible. Terry, I know you've got a lot of comment on this. Feel free to take as much feel free to take as much time as you want on this issue, because this one is really, really near and dear to my heart. It's important to the show because of the fact that we're looking for that last individual to accept Christ, and it looks like we've got a falling away of the church. Go ahead.
Well, you just actually quoted the Bible when you said a falling away. Paul himself used those very words when he predicted and prophesied. I shouldn't say predicted. He prophesied. Prophecy is more complete and total and real than right. prediction. I can right. predict anything and it may not come true. But he prophesied, meaning it's a divine order. It's going to happen. He mm. prophesied that in the last days, there would be a falling away of people. So what I do to try to help encourage Christians first, Paul said, minister to the Christian first and then to the world. Okay. Jesus said they're going to know you by your love one for another, not Amen. Just your love. Oh, I'm going to love the world. That's Amen. Not what he said. He said love for one another. If a person doesn't love Jesus, you can love them all you want. They're going to burn in hell forever. Amen. But going back to your question, the reality is that these things are all a part of prophecy. When people bring to me all the laundry list of all the terrible things that are going on, and I mean, it gets added day by day. Yeah, but have you heard about this? Have right. you heard about the, you know, right. all of the, you know, trying to get me off my high horse, right? I have to say to them, hey, did you ever read the Bible? You know, right. they talk about the people, the populations. I was going to throw this in earlier, but God is in order and time, and so it's better here than it would have been before. But people talk about the populations of the world dying and going down. Amen. They need to read, and you and I have talked about it many times, Revelation chapter 6. It's going to be something like a third or more of the population of the earth is going to die before we come back in Revelation 19 during mm-hmm. the tribulation. I mean, you think people are dying now. That's nothing. By the way, I have read books, and I'm sure there are people out there that have read the same ones. I hear people talk about this on Getter, which is one of the mainline for respectable people that are actually trying to think. But I've read reports on Getter on the fact that people, that's right, that's my opinion. Go on there and tell me I'm wrong. But
no, anyway. It's not that. It's that you made it sound like it's a really huge network, and it's not. It's one of the smaller ones, but I'm just going by what the factual data I've got. Okay, it's one of the smaller ones.
Okay,
yeah,
people,
ahead.
You know when people say, I'm not going to listen to so-and-so because they only have 100 followers. I'm going to listen to so-and-so because they've got 10,000 followers. Right. Jesus said, wide is the gate. Wide is the
Amen.
Gate. People are going to have to get sharp. They're going to have to understand. If there's some guy standing on the street corner with a washboard saying Jesus is coming back or Jesus saves, and they laugh at him, he's going to have a wonderful place in heaven, and they may be burning in hell forever. So, you know, people are going to have to start changing their perspective. When people come to me with all these laundry lists of the terrible things, I say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And they say, wait a minute, you didn't hear what I said. And they come back and they reiterate everything they're saying. And while they're reiterating it, they're getting reports coming in from the computer, the TV, the radio, the internet, everything, their telephone. It's even getting worse than what they were saying. So they have to back them. Oh, wait, it's going, you know, and I'm going, thank you, Jesus, amen. I'm getting happier and happier. And they're saying, what
well,
are you doing?
You know,
I
right
say, because
now,
you're fulfilling prophecy. They're fulfilling prophecy. What you're looking at is prophecy being fulfilled. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, we can go on about this forever, you know, and I'm going to cut it short.
We will go on for it in heaven.
I'm going to cut the discussion about this one short for now. Okay.
Amen. Amen.
But what I am going to say a little bit about social media, all of social media is declining. Okay. Twitter was like number one, I think. Facebook number two, something like that. I could be off on the figures a little bit, but they're all declining. You know where they're declining to for the young generation? You have any idea?
Yeah.
Games.
No, where?
Games.
Uh-huh.
Video games.
Yeah.
Okay. Video games, AI, that stuff is all taken off. And you know, it's saying that the younger generation now is beginning to give up on Facebook, you know, and nothing could make me happier in regard to Mark Zuckerberg than to see his thing fall apart to where maybe he's got to get a job at McDonald's or something. That would be great.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Personal opinion. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, Saudi officials are saying that normalization with Israel is still on the table. Okay. You know, they're still saying that, you know, that the big thing is that half of Jerusalem's got to be split off to the Arabs, and, you know, for them to have a capital there as well for them. And that's not going to happen. The Bible says it's not going to happen. So that tells me that this Saudi and Israeli deal ain't going to happen. I mean, that's just, you know, that's where I'm coming from on it. Iran has unveiled what they call the Fatah. It's an F-A-T-T-A-H, its first hypersonic missile. Now, the president of Iran, his name is Rassi, R-A-I-S-I, he's claimed that this new missile is a point of security for stable peace for countries of the region. That sounds really benign. That sounds really nice, doesn't it? Okay. Then he emphasizes this, and this is the reason why we laugh at these guys when they say they're doing things for the betterment of the region, okay? If you were doing that, you'd be emphasizing that point, right? Well, here's what he emphasized. Iran claims a missile can hit Israel in 400 seconds. How is that providing security to the region if you're talking about sending a missile to another country to hit it in 400 seconds? Here's his quote. This system has a very high speed and has the ability to maneuver in and out of the atmosphere. Both defense systems that defend inside the atmosphere and extremely expensive systems that deal with missiles outside the atmosphere. This new missile of the Islamic Republic of Iran will pass all of them. And I don't think that technology will be found that can deal with this for decades to come. Here's some news for the president of Iran. God doesn't care what kind of technology you got. You're not going to be successful in Israel. Everyone out there in Iran, everybody in Iraq, everybody over there in those Arabian countries, I want you to pick up Ezekiel 38, 39 in the Bible. Read it. God himself ends this. Okay? God himself repels the forces. You will attack. These countries will attack. North, south, east, and west. Israel will even believe it is doomed, and God himself will defeat your enemy, Israel. God himself will do it. That according to the Bible. I'm reporting that as a member of the U.S. Press Association and as a Christian who believes in Jesus Christ. I profess Jesus Christ is God. He is my Savior. God saved me, and he can save you too. All you've got to do is say, Jesus, Lord God, please, I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sins. I know Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. I know he spent 3 days in the tomb. I know he rose from the dead. I know he was seen by more than 500 people at the same time, uncrucified. I mean, he looked normal. He didn't look like somebody who had been scathed beyond belief, who would have died from the beating given to him before he was even crucified. He was fine. And then he returned to heaven, but he made a promise. He's coming back for his church. Terry wrote about it in Blast Off Repentmore in its fifth edition. Understand his sixth edition's on the way. Surprised. But anyway, all you've got to do is pray a prayer of salvation in your own words and say, Jesus, I will follow you for the rest of my life.
Amen.
And say that in Jesus' name. And if you are that last individual we're looking for to accept Jesus Christ before the rapture, then the next face you're going to see is Jesus Christ. And I'll be right there to pat you on the back, as will Terry. Okay. We're all going to meet together in the air, all Christians living and dead. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, this Fatah, or whatever.
Let me throw in real quick, 30 seconds. Remember, people, when you call on Jesus and he saves you, the reason this guy over here is so excited is because he knows about this. But in Philippians chapter 1, I believe it's verse 6, but you can sue me if I'm wrong. But it says in Philippians in chapter 1, it says that Jesus is going to complete the work that he has begun in you. He's going to complete it.
Amen.
When Jesus, and that old song, Jesus takes the wheel, folks.
Amen. And, you know, this is one thing I want to throw in at this point is just because you become a Christian, you're still going to sin. Okay, you're still going to sin, but your sins are forgiven by Jesus Christ because we're humans. We're not
And if you know Jesus and you sin, he is going to chastise you for it.
Amen.
And he will even take it to the place. This is scripture, folks. Give me an hour sometime. But he's not only going to chastise you, but he will take you to the point where he will turn your body. He will have the church pray, turn your body over to Satan so that you are destroyed because he wants your soul. Jesus wants your soul. That's right. What he wants. And Amen. He will get it. Even if so, if you think you know Jesus and you're sinning and nothing's happening, you better go back and check Jesus.
Amen.
If you're sinning and all kinds of things are happening to you, Jesus loves you and he's going to get you on the right road or he's going to bring you home early.
Right.
I'm done.
Yeah, right, right. So anyway, please, please, if you have not given your life to the Lord, please
Amen.
Do that.
Amen.
All right, Terry, it's time for you again. And so I'm going to give you another 2 minutes to go with here. Just a really quick reminder that the Last Christian Newscast and Radio Show is proud to partner with a great educational program for youth based on solid Christian principles and values. Now, as a parent concerned about what your children are exposed to and learning in public schools, you will appreciate the opportunity to learn about Kirkwood's Christian Online Learning Program that will keep your kids engaged and learning, all without worrying about the type of curriculum being presented to them. It only takes a few minutes to set up the program, and your kids can begin working independently on any device, including desktop computers, laptops, tablets, iPads, even smartphones. Now, you can learn more about this program on the Last Christian website at www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net for all of the free information on Kirkwood's homeschool learning program for kids. And hey, get this, the whole program, well, it only costs you about $1 a day. It doesn't get better than that. Visit us at www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net and receive your information all about Kirkwood's homeschooling learning program for kids. And with that, Terry, it is now up to you, sir. The time begins right about now.
Homeschooling works. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the water which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called the seas. And God saw that it was good. God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself, after his kind. And God saw it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. God saw it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. Maranatha, Lord Jesus, come quickly.
Amen and amen. You know, people want to make fun of creationism. Well,
yeah.
I make fun of those folks. So you're telling me that that nothing blew up nothing and all of this was created. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I want science to prove that nothing can create something. Now, seriously, science?
That's okay, right.
Let's do it, okay? I challenge you, science. You make something, create something out of nothing. Go ahead. Give it your best shot and then come back to me.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you that there is no doubt God created the heavens and the earth. Okay? No doubt at all. Terry, I can't even let you comment. We got to move. Okay? Because we are way behind schedule here. All right. One thing that I'm going to put up here really, really quick. This is China and the United States. Things are not looking good between the two countries right now. It's, I know that the Biden family has a lot of personal attachment with China. I don't think that's a secret, right? For good or bad, whatever your position may be on that, I think that you'll agree that they have a specific, they have a real interest in China, if not a love for them. So anyway, let's listen to this really, really quick.
A Chinese warship came within 150 yards of a U.S. destroyer in the Taiwan Straits in an unsafe manner, U.S. military officials said.
U.S. and Canadian navies were conducting a joint exercise in the strait, which separates the island of Taiwan and China, when the Chinese ship cut in front of the U.S. guided missile destroyer, Chunghoon, forcing it to slow down to avoid a collision, the U.S. Indo-Pacific Command said in a statement. Guy Davis reporting.
Just days after America accused a Chinese warship of dangerously cutting across a US destroyer in international waters, the Chinese and American navies are taking part in exercises in Indonesia to improve cooperation. 40 ships from more than 30 countries are also participating. Andrew Wood reports from Hong Kong.
Indonesia says the MNEK exercises off the coast of Sulawesi help foreign navies to respond better to natural disasters and humanitarian crises. It's about improving skills to work together and communicate better and not fight each other. The Indonesian Navy invited Beijing and Washington, as well as Moscow and Canberra, to send warships to take part. The exercises run Monday through Friday. China and America are increasingly confronting each other militarily over Taiwan. That's a democratically governed island that Beijing says is a renegade province to be retaken by force if necessary. The other flashpoint is the South China Sea. Beijing has built illegal military bases there in international waters, and it also claims much of the territorial waters of surrounding countries as its own.
Okay. Now, they keep saying, illegal bases and all this kind of stuff. But now, please understand, I am not in any way trying to be in favor of what China's doing. They're obviously, they're a force to be dealt with. But I'm not condoning anything they do. However, let's look at this from a common sense perspective for a minute. Okay, we've got our ships over there in the China Sea, not the United States Sea, in the China Sea. So I think that they probably have a little bit more interest in what goes on in the waters right around them than we do. That's just, personal opinion. And to kind of hammer that home for just a second, imagine that China or Russia or any other country is cruising in the Gulf of Mexico. How happy are you about that? Do you think that you might have a little bit of concern about that? Especially we are a superpower. We have the ability to fire nuclear missiles directly off the ship and probably give them about 15 seconds warning time. Well, same applies if they were cruising around the Gulf of Mexico, right? So in order to tamp things down, personal opinion, I don't think we ought to be doing it. That's just my personal opinion. Terry, you may have a different one.
And it is different. And the reason being the strategic element that's involved here, as far as them being in the China Sea, there's no problem there. But the reason they're there is because they are pushing to take China back. Taiwan back. And Taiwan, I don't know if you're aware of this, but it was founded by Christians, and it up until recent times, it has been very strongly and proactive and evangelistically Christian. This is one of the reasons why China The government, especially the communists, the atheists, hate Taiwan because of their existence, because they send missionaries into China. Okay. Right. And right. The Chinese church is a real pain and a thorn to them because, and by the way, I'm going to throw this in and stop. The reason the China church is growing is because they teach very strongly something called the prophecy of the rapture. And so they're just blossoming. I want to throw that
well,
in.
And you know, I've got nothing. I've got nothing. I have no news reports to either dispute that or confirm mm-hmm. that. But I do mm-hmm. have news reports to confirm that the Christian faith is in fact growing. Okay.
Yes.
Now the Chinese defense minister in all of this. Now he says that a war with the United States would be an unbearable disaster. So they recognize too that, you know, they don't want war with us. But my fear is that one of these rogue captains is going to shoot at, you know, whether the fire, mm-hmm. the initial shot comes from a U.S. ship or a Chinese ship, doesn't matter. You know, mm-hmm. whenever it happens, there's going to be a response, and then there's going to be a response to the response, and there's going to, you know, you see what I'm saying. So yeah. I don't think it's wise that we're there. All right, Belarus official, he is saying that the left, and by that, he's talking about the mm-hmm. United States, believe it or not, okay? Mm-hmm. He said that the West has left us no choice but to deploy nuclear arms. These are the tactical nuclear weapons that sent in from Russia. This again, Reuters newscast here. Western countries left Belarus no choice but to deploy the Russian tactical nuclear weapons, and had better take heed to the don't cross red lines on key strategic issues. Russia moved ahead last week with a decision to deploy tactical nuclear weapons on Belarusian territory, aimed at achieving, now listen to this, this is the important part, not deterrence, okay? They're not talking about deterrence here. The aim is on achieving specific gains on the battlefield. Now, I can't think of anything that is more clear on something that we have been talking about for almost a year, of the use of tactical nuclear weapons in that arena over there called the Ukraine-Russian conflict. He just said it. I mean, he just came out and said it. Today, Ukraine, they're fleeing floods from the dam that supports the nuclear power plant. There are mm-hmm. a lot of towns that are just they're underwater. And so immediately you want to blame the Russians, right? But this is kind of confusing. I don't know who to blame on this one. It says neither side offered immediate public evidence on who was to blame. But Ukraine and Russia have both asked the UN Security Council to meet to discuss the dam. Ukraine accuses Russia of ecological and technological act of terrorism, while Russia describes it as an act of sabotage carried out by the Ukraine. So both of them were blaming the other one. They want to take it in front. Yeah, I felt like, you know, if one of them was to blame, that they wouldn't want to take their case to the UN Security Council. So there's another idea out there that this could have just been, you know, the dam just burst, you know, so mm-hmm. that neither side is really to blame for it, but they're both blaming the other one. Now, unfortunately, mm-hmm. we didn't have time for scripture today. We hope to have Carl Erickson return here pretty soon. He's on the road spreading gospel tracts all over the country. Last mm-hmm. I knew, he was still in Arizona having some issues there. Mm-hmm. But we hope to welcome him back. Anyway, we'll get back to scripture next week in the next edition, or next time, not next week. Until then, God bless each and every one of you. We hope to see you next time. Good night.
Amen.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.